The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Toldos. In this week's Parsha, Be'ilah Toldos Yitzchok ben Avram, Avram holy des Yitzchok. It tells us of Yitzchok and of Yitzchok's son, Yaakov and Esav. Now, in these past few parashas, we've learned about Abraham and Yitzchok and now Yaakov. And they are known as the Shlesh Oves, the three forefathers. In the past number of shurim, we've made mention of what the particular quality of Abraham Avinu was, which he excelled in, his particular approach to the Almighty, and that was Midas HaChesed. And we explained, I would just like to make mention a few of the principles that we've spoken about in the past shurim in regards to this, and that is Chesed is Lamala Min Adin. Chesed is what we do when it is not demanded from us. It is not something which is forced upon us or through any external coercion. It's not because of duty, but rather it's bo mikeach atzmai, me'atzmai. It comes from the person himself. It comes from the person himself, and this is an illustration of the Tev HaGomor, that he has a natural goodness in him. Because chesed, like the Gemara says, is not only la'aniyim, but it's also la'ashirim. Chesed is not only to the poor, but it is also to the wealthy. It's like giving a gift to another person. And we also explained that there is what is known as deen. Deen is what the law demands, but justice demands. And then there is what is known as stoker. Stoker is not demanded by law. Charity is not demanded by law. So let's go in lifnei mishuras hadin, above the actual law. But at the same time, there's a ksas hechrich, there's a perspective in that which is demanded of a person. Because when you give tzedakah, you give it to someone. When you give tzedakah, you give it to someone who is in need. So the situation calls for it. It's a case of compassion. So that's tzedakah. But chesed is even further. Chesed is like giving a gift to another person because you want to do him good. You want to be good to him. So this is the highest level of doing goodness for another person. And this was the quality of Abraham. And this is what is known as Avo. This is Avas Habrius, Avas HaChesed, loving kindness, loving love of a fellow man. And we find this expressed many times in the Torah by Abraham and Sarah. You know, the Torah is not a detailed biography of an individual's life. Many times it will only write a few lines or a few words by someone. But by Abraham we find mentioned a number of times this quality. For example, it states as anefesh asher osu b'choron. This, the people that they made in Choron, and this refers to their great harbotzes Torah. That once that they learned about the Almighty, they wanted others to know. They wanted to teach everything that they knew to others, and this was because of a Torah's chesed, wanting to do good for others. States Avraham Megayer es Anoshim, Vesore Megayer es Anoshim. Avraham taught the men and Sore taught the women, and they were Makarev, they brought close The Rambam writes thousands and tens of thousands of people to believe in the Almighty and to fulfill the seven commandments which were given to the people. Another example is the story of the Hachnosis Orchim, how they brought in the travelers, where the Torah goes to great detail to explain this. We see even further that Abraham went to great extremes. Abraham went to great extremes to try to save the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, even though they weren't fit at all to be saved. And also Eshel Abraham, that the Torah tells us Abraham planted a paradise, an orchard, or he set up hotels, lodging places on the roads for travelers, and there he would give them both physical food and teach them about the Almighty. This quality of Ava in Chesed, the sages tell us, is the Sheirish, is the source of Asiya in Zrizus, to do. When a person has in him a love of someone or something, he's motivated to do, and he's motivated to do it with a great enthusiasm and zeal. Ahava maybe lidei zrizus. And this is the source, the sages tell us, to all of the mitzvahs asays, to all of the positive commandments in the Torah. To go and to do, to go and to reach out. And this is why excuse me, I was just wondering, let me give her a better chair. Because of this, we find in a number of places in the Torah, Vayashkev Abraham Baboker. Abraham got up. Vayashkev means that he got up at dawn. When it came to Sodom Vamora, he wanted to know what happened. He was up the next morning at dawn. When it came to the Akedah, to take Yitzchok, to sacrifice him, it states, Vayashkev Abraham Baboker. Abraham was up at the crack of at sunrise. Why? Because of his great zeal and enthusiasm. Avo mikalkeles es ashura. Love distorts logic. It wasn't logical that he should be up so early to go for that event of the Akedah Yitzchok, to sacrifice his son. Or it states that he saddled his own donkey. Abraham was a nobleman, he was a king. But Ava mekalkeles ashura. Love distorts logic. This was an illustration of the great love and zeal of Abraham. This is why also that when Sarah told Abraham that Yishmael is a bad influence on my son Yitzchok, and I don't want him here, Korosh yeso oma azeis vesbono, chase out the maidservant and her child. This was a very difficult task for Abraham, because this was totally contrary to the nature that he had developed in himself, of an enormous wellspring of goodness towards others. Now he was told to send his Hagar, his concubine, and his son, into the wilderness. And this was totally against his nature, and that is why it's reckoned in the Mishnah Novus, the last Perek in Novus, where it states that Hashem tested Abraham with 10 great challenges. One of these challenges, Rashi brings, was to send Hagar and her son away. And that could be the simple meaning in the posuk, in the psukim there, where it states, Vayera hadover me'ed be'eni Abraham. This is in Vayera Chof Aleph Posuk Yud. Vayera hadover me'ed be'eni Abraham. That this was very bad in the eyes of Abraham, The simple meaning was this whole concept of sending her out. Rashi brings from the Medrash a little different interpretation there. But this is the simple meaning. We can say that it was through this quality that Avraham came to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, Avraham is the first one that we know of that served HaKadosh Baruch Hu successfully established his presence in the world. Till then, like we said in the past, like we spoke in the past, but whatever was created was destroyed. The 10 generations from Adam, the 10 generations from Noah. The fact is, Abraham said on himself, in these parashas we just learned, in one place he mentions Elokei HaShemayim, the God of the heavens, and another place he mentions Elokei HaOretz, the God of the earth. And he said that before me, the Almighty was in the heavens, he wasn't in the earth. Through me, he became known in the on the land also. So Abraham was the first. And the quality to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with chesed, right? It's very possible that this became the first quality because he searched for the Almighty himself. He had no Rebbe. He had no teacher. And how did he find the Almighty? It states he stakel bebiro. He looked at the palace, and through the palace he recognized the Balabiro, the creator of the palace. And it was through this mido, this quality, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Because the Almighty didn't owe anything that he had, which placed a responsibility on him to create a world. Once the world was created, then there was a responsibility for the creator to take care of his creations. But before creation, there was no responsibility, no demand, nothing to coerce or influence the Almighty to create the world. So what caused him to create the world? Omarti olam chesed yibone. I said I would make a world of chesed. It was the loving kindness of the Almighty which motivated him to create the world. So therefore this was ingrained in the world, and therefore this was very much the likelihood that the Avraham came through this way in order to recognize the Almighty. And we have a Mishnah Nomis right at the beginning of the Masechta, the second Mishnah. Ashleish Amudim Ha'elam Omed. That the world stands on three pillars. One is Al Gemilas Chasodim. This was the pillar of Avraham. Therefore, we find Avraham was called by the Almighty Ohavi, my beloved. And he also was called Yedid. The Rambam at the end of Hilchis Tshuva, speaking about Avodas Machmas Avo, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with love, he brings that was the midah of Avraham Avinu Shenikro Ohavi, that the Almighty had called him his beloved. So this was the quality of Avraham Avinu. As we mentioned at the beginning of the Shir, now we have in these parashas Yitzchok and Yaakov. What was the quality of Yitzchok? The prime quality which stands out, or we would say the prime achievement which stands out in the life of Yitzchok, would be the Akedah Yitzchok, the sacrifice. And in many times, the sages refer to him as Yitzchok HaKedator, the Yitzchok who sacrificed himself. He gave himself, actually his whole life, as a fast sacrifice to the Almighty. And even though he actually didn't give himself, it was aborted, as it states at the end of Vayera, that the Malach Hashem, the angel, came and said, "Vayemal tishlach yotcho elanar valtas lemu uma." Do not touch him. Do not do anything to him. But that wasn't from Yitzchok's side. That was from the angel's side. As far as Yitzchok was concerned, he was willing to and allowing himself to be sacrificed to Hashem. Abraham had bound him with rope, and he had put him on a pile of wood, and he was ready to sacrifice him. And when Abraham found the isle, the ram, so it states, "Bayalehu le'ola tachas b'nai." This is at the end of Parshas Vayera, that he sacrificed it as a burnt offering in Yitzchok's stead, which the sages tell us, as far as the Almighty was concerned, Yitzchok gave himself as a sacrifice. He's the one who stopped it, and the ram was in his place. And the Gemara brings that we have a pasuk that states, "V'zochati es brishi Yaakov, ve'af es brishi Yitzchok, ve'af es brishi Avram es Kor." That I will remember. This is a pasuk that we say many times during the Slichus, before Rosh Hashanah, and in the Tfilas Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That I shall remember the covenant of Yaakov, and also the covenant of Yitzchok, and even the covenant of Abraham I shall remember. And the Gemara asks that by Yaakov it states I shall remember, and by Abraham it states I shall remember, but by Yitzchok it doesn't say. It just says V'afes Brishi Yitzchok, and also the covenant of Yitzchok. Why? So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you only have to remember something that's possible to forget, something that's not before you, and you might forget. You have to call on your memory to remember it, to retain it. So therefore the covenant of Abraham was a long time ago. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "I won't forget." The covenant of Yaakov was a long time ago. "I won't forget." But Yitzchok, he says, Yitzchok is Hare Yitzchok. Yitzchok, Afore Shul Yitzchok Nireki Lutzovru Munach HaGabri Mizbeach. He says, "I always see the ashes of Yitzchok right in front of me on the altar." This is what the Almighty answers. So therefore I don't have to remember, you don't have to remember something that's before your eyes. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos brings that at one time Klal Yisrael needed the schus, the merit of the Ovish, and the schus of Abraham didn't help, and the schus of Yaakov didn't help, but the schus of Yitzchok helped. Why? Because korafti es nafshoi. Because Yitzchok said, "I gave my life to the Almighty," and that was more than any of the others could claim. So we see the supreme achievement of Yitzchok, in which he excelled over the other aves, was the Akedah Yitzchok, the binding, the sacrifice of Yitzchok. And the Medrash tells us in Vayikra Rabba Perek Beis, on that day of the Akedah, "Shehel Avram es Yitzchok b'nei al gabi mizbeach, tikin HaKadosh Baruch Hu shnei kvosim echod b'shachris v'echod b'nei aboyim." That on that day the Almighty decreed that all of the sacrifices that we fulfilled it during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, these mitzvahs shall be given to Yisrael in the future. It was decreed on that day of the Akedah Yitzchok, when Yitzchok gave himself to the Almighty. So from here we see that he was the Sheirish, he was the source of what is called Avoda. All that was done in the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as Avoda. This is what Yitzchok was the source of. If we go into this a little more and a little deeper, what is Avoda? Avoda is the service of an Eved L'Rabbi, of a servant who attends to his master. And this is why it's called Avoda, from the word Eved. Because it is proper, it is etiquette, that to a king, a master, you bring a dot and you bring gifts. When people would come to see kings, they would bring gifts. It's not that the king needed the gift, he had plenty, but this was known as Shai Lemelech, a tribute. What was this a declaration of? A declaration of his sovereignty, a declaration of the other's submission to him, and a declaration that the king ruled. He ruled and everything belonged to him. And this is the essence of the sacrifices, very concisely, that we were commanded to bring sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a hayro, as a declaration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, rules the world and everything belongs to him and everything is returned back to him. And this is why it was referred to as avoda. This was as a servant serving his mighty master. And the fact is, the Gemara brings, it says, the Gemara asked the question in Masechta Zvachim. It says, when the Kahanim, they were in the base of English and they served, how did they serve? Standing up or sitting down? So it says, Vishores, Visheres. Many times, Lishores, uses the word Lishores to serve. It says, how does a servant serve his master? Sitting down or standing up? Standing up. Ma'amido. The fact is, the word Kohen itself, Lechahen, means to serve, means l'shamesh. This is why they were called Kohanim. The Beis HaMikdash was the central point of Yisrael serving the Almighty as a servant serves a great king. More than that though, because Kodesh Baruch Hu is not a great king, he's Melech Malchei HaMelochim, he's the king of all kings. And therefore the Beis HaMikdash was the central point which brought the world to serve the Almighty. And the whole concept of the Korban Ola, which was Ela Reach Nicheach LaHashem, which went up back to Hashem, that it was a Chayzel Itchilosei, that it went back to where it came from, which is a Heroah, that the whole world was his. And this is what the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Oves, that a second pillar which the world stands on is Avoda. This was Yitzchok. Yitzchok established that pillar. Now, Avoda, this the rabbis teach us. Avoda is Midas Hadin, Din and Mishpot. It has to do with the qualities of law. Law and justice. Why? Because as we said before, if someone does a chesed to another person, one person does a chesed to another, why does he do it? He doesn't do it because he has to. We explained that's something he does not have to do. Rather, he does it because he wants to. That's what is known as Difnim Mishuras Hadin. Nothing is obligating him to do it. Once you give a maton lechaveri, a gift to a fellow man, there's no obligation. To the contrary, the fact there's no obligation and he still does it, that shows his great love for the other person. If there'd be an obligation to do it, there wouldn't be such, he's not doing it so much because of love. So he does it mirseina hatov, he does it because of his own good free will. When a servant, a when a servant serves a master, why does he do it? He can love his master. He can want to do kindness to his master. But that's not why he serves him. He serves him because Memshelis Odeim Olecho, because the sovereignty of his master is over him. This is why Avoda, to serve in such a manner, that is entailed with Din and Mishpot, and also what we call Yireh, fear. A friend that you love, you're very close to, you don't have fear from him. But someone who's a master over you, you take at any level, an employer. Why do you work for an employer? You can love your employer very much, but that's not why you're putting in a day's work for him. You're putting in a day's work for him because you owe it to him. Because he has employed you and you have sold your services to him. And therefore the deen, what is right, requires it. And you have a fear and respect. Yira means fear and duty. You have a duty to do it. If someone would be more than an employer, if someone would be a master over you or a king, then it's Yiris Odein Olecho. The fear of the king is over the servant. So this is why the korbonis, the sacrifices, the Beis Hamikdash, which is called Avoda, was also entailed together with what we would call Din, Umishpot, and Yireh. This was all one approach. It's also, we find that the deen was referred to as the shevet, right? the staff of judgment, because as we said, it's not optional when it comes to chesed and love. That's optional. When it comes to law, it's not optional, right? It's muchach, it has to be. And therefore it was a shevet by Yehuda who was to become the lawmaker. State Lo Yosef Shevet Mi Yehuda. Staff of judgment will not leave his hands. We find also that the staff is referred to as Yesurim, affliction. David HaMelech said, Shivtecho Meshantecho Hema Yenachamoni. It was my staff that gave me comfort. He was referring to the Yesurim affliction, that he drew greatness from affliction. The Medrash tells us that the first place in the Torah that we see there was affliction brought on a person to improve him. Not like a punishment, but an affliction that was brought on a person was Yitzchok. It says Yitzchok was blind. He couldn't see well. The Medrash says that Yitzchok asked for affliction, because he says this improves a person. This makes him great. And this was Yitzchok's quality. The sages go further. They tell us that just like Ava, love is an outgoing quality, where a person wants to reach out to everyone. And it motivates him to go and do. Ava maybe lideis rizus. Gives him tremendous zeal to go. Enthusiasm. Or maybe lideasia. And to do something positive. And this is the source of all of the positive mitzvahs in the Torah. It states that yireh, fear, is maybe lideis hirus, is just the opposite. Makes a person to withdraw. They precious to draw. For example, a person sees a fire, what does he do? Be careful, don't go too close. Okay. Or you see a great river or mountain or sea, You have respect for it. The same thing, Yireh, you see a great king, is maybe Lidei Zihirus. It causes a person to withdraw, to be very careful. Sheval Taser, not to do, and that is the source of all of your mitzvahs, Leisases, of your negative commandments in the Torah. This was the quality of Yitzchok. And this is why we find in Parshas Vayetze, next week's Parsha, near the end of the Parsha, Laman Aleph Posik Membeis, actually it's in two places in the Torah, but one place is here, when Yaakov was taking an oath in his confrontation with Lovan. So he said, Lule Elakei Ovi, if not for the God of my father, Elakei Avraham Ufachad Yitzchok Hoyali, if not for the God of Avraham, and Fachad Yitzchok, the fear of Yitzchok was with me, then you would have taken everything away from me. So he referred to Avraham, the God of Avraham. But when he referred to the God of his father Yitzchok, he said, Ufachad Yitzchok. Pachad is the fear of Yitzchok. Because just like the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham was full of chesed and full of love and full of goodness, to Yitzchok, he was a mighty Melech Malchei Amalochim, the King of all kings, a Fachad. A Fachad is an enormous awe and respect. It's like when you see a mountain that's 25,000 feet high, or you're in the middle of an ocean, you have fear and respect. Actually, in the Shemein Esrei, we say Elakei Avraham, Elakei Yitzchok, Elakei Yaakov. Why don't we say Elakei Avraham, Be Yitzchok for Yaakov? So the commentary state, because each one saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a different perspective. That's why we say Elakei Avraham, the way Avraham saw the Almighty, Elakei Yitzchok, the way Yitzchok saw the Almighty, and Elakei Yaakov. Each one saw him from a different perspective, and each one created a different path to him. So therefore, Yitzchok was the Amud, the pillar of Avoda, Yireh and Din. Now, if we'll ask the question, what is better? What way is better to serve the Almighty? Should we serve him like Avraham, or should we serve him like Yitzchok? Well, let's see. For sure, people are much happier with someone who's full of avo, someone who's full of love. That's like the good uncle who's always doing good things for you. He's always giving you things. He's never demanding anything in return. Always good, bringing gifts all of the time. And he has all the things to say about you. And always hugs and kisses you. He only knows good. And this is, naturally, people like that quality much better than Deen, than the law, which is like a sword. And when it comes to being makar of people, bringing people close, like Avraham and Sora, where they brought a world close to the Almighty. Avraham said that, and Avraham said it in all truth. He said, before me, the Almighty was known in the heavens, but not on the earth. But now he is known even on the earth. That was through his achievements. He brought a world close to the Almighty. So there's no doubt that that's the quality that one needs. You're not going to bring people close by shouting at them and by scaring them off. And it's brought, for example, in the Mishnah Masechet Ovos by Aaron HaKohen. Aaron also was a great Makarev. He was always bringing people close to Torah and close to each other. What was his quality? midosei shel Aaron, havi mitalvidei shel Aaron Hakohen, shoya eiv shalom v'reiv shalom. He loved peace. He didn't like machlekes. He didn't like quibbling. He didn't like bickering. He didn't like fighting. Loved peace. Eiv shalom v'reiv shalom. Many people love peace, but they don't do anything about it. He pursued peace. He loved the people and he brought them close to Torah. And we already said that chesed is the etzem atov. This is a sign that the person is full of a pure goodness. So from one aspect, chesed and avo is a wonderful midah. But on the other aspect, from the other aspect, we see that Yitzchok had reached even a higher height of the Dveikus b'Hashem, of coming closer to Hashem than even Avraham. What we quoted before for the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that when Klal Yisrael needed a schus, they needed the merit of the fathers. And Avraham no longer was able to help them, or Yaakov. It states Yitzchok was. He said, on what basis? Because he alone had given his entire self to the Almighty. And the rabbis explain, the Maral, that Yireh, that type of Yireh, actually brings a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Ava. Why? Because if two people love each other, you have two friends, or a man and a wife, no matter how much they love each other, they're still separate entities. Man and a wife could be a little different, because there it states that they were both from one being to begin with, and each take a goof, and now they come back to being as one being. But you take two friends, or you take a father and a son. No matter how much they love each other and how much chesed they do for each other, but they're still two entities. But when it comes to an eved and a rabbi, a servant and his master, there the servant becomes a non-entity to the master. There's what is known as isbatlus. He ceases to exist as an independent being. That's the whole concept of servitude, that he's not independent, but he's totally reliant on the master. This is why the Torah tells us to be a servant to a human being is disgraceful, Torah says. Because you no longer are an independent being. But to be a servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, to be Eved L'Avodim, that you should be servants to Parai, no. But Avodim, but servants to me, that's a different story. But whatever it is, a servant ceases to be an independent being. Because Kol Hayev Tlui Narabe, his whole existence is dependent on the master. Kol Mashe Kona Eved Kona Rabbi. Whatever belongs to the Eved belongs to the Rabbi. And because of that, he becomes a Tofel Rabbi. He becomes a part of the Rabbi himself, a part of the master himself. Through this, Yitzchok came to a higher level than the others. And that's why he was able to give his whole being to the Almighty. And it states that by Yiras Hashem, what is true Yiras Hashem, the true fear of Hashem? when a person fears only Hashem. Many people are under the impression they fear Hashem because they do things which is required, and they are afraid that if they won't do them, they'll be criticized by other people. Therefore, they become a Yore Hashem. That's not Yiras Hashem, rabbis tell us. That's Yiras Anoshim. They're afraid of people. Yiras Hashem is when you see Hashem and only Him. And you have fear from no one else or nothing else in the world. This was the fear that Yitzchok had. Ein ol milvadoi, that there's no other force in the world. All the other forces are merely reliant of the Almighty Himself. Someone who sees that very clearly is not afraid of anything else in the world. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yiras Hashem. That's the Yira that Yitzchok had. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a pachat to him. But nothing else was a pachat. The fact is, it goes further. It states this is why he was called Yitzchok. Yitzchok is from Loshen Tzchaik, from laughter. Why should someone like that be called laughter? He was called Yitzchok because when Hashem told Abraham that he was to give birth at 100 years old and Sarah at 90, Abraham laughed. Why did Abraham laugh? He laughed with joy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could perform such miracles and manipulate against the natural forces of the world. And this was engraved in Yitzchok's nefesh, that where he saw the forces of the world were insignificant to the Almighty, and his birth was the proof of that. He was born of a miracle, and this is why his name was Yitzchok. When a person comes to that level where he can laugh at all of the other forces of the world, not because he's a fool and he doesn't recognize that they're forces. That's a fool, someone who'll walk into the ocean and laugh at it. Yitzchok recognized the power of the world. But he recognized further that they all were merely servants of a greater power. And therefore everything he saw was the king of all kings, and the rest were his servants. When you walk into the palace of the king, who do you have fear for? You have fear for the king. This was Yitzchok. And he rose to such a height where he became part of the Almighty. I gave myself to him. So we see Yitzchok came to levels that Abraham didn't come to. So which is better? The truth of the matter is, both are lacking. A person that will have goodness in him, and he'll want to give from that goodness to everyone. From one aspect, it's very good. But from another aspect, we said, Ahava Mekalkeles es Hashura. Such a love, all motivating love like that, can destroy what is right and logic. A person who only wants to do good for other people will find himself one day doing good not only for good people, but doing good for evil people also. A person who only wants to have love will find one day that he not only loves the Tov, he loves Ra, he loves evil too. This is what the Gemara tells us. Gemara says, Amarachim ala Achzorim. Compassion is a wonderful quality. But there's what is known as misdirected love and compassion. And someone who has compassion on the cruel will eventually end up being cruel to those who are compassionate. This we see in the world. And Abraham went and stood up for Sdom v'Amora. From the perspective of love, that was very good. a perspective of right and wrong, it wasn't good. It states, Ansh es dom va'amora, roim v'chatoim mi'od la'ashem. They were evil, and they had sinned exceedingly to Hashem. And there were no cities that sunk to such depths of horror and evil. Yes, dom va'amora. What was Abraham coming and standing up for them? And after the whole debate, they couldn't even find anyone there that was worthy of saving. And even Lot states that he was saved because of the schus of Abraham, not because of his own righteousness. So therefore, in all of its goodness, the quality of love needs guidelines, needs directions, it needs parameters. And what are those parameters and directions? That's deen. The deen tells us what you should love and what you shouldn't love. What should you be makarev and what should you be marachik? What should you bring close and what should you reject? Therefore, sets an approach in its own right is lacking. From the other perspective, we see the other approach to serve only with the letter of the law also is lacking. Where do we see that? We see that at the creation of the world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it uses his name Elohim. In all of Ma'aseh Bereishis, it states Elohim. Vayara Elohim, Vayem Elohim. Elohim Zu Bezdin. When it states Elohim, that's the name HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses for the God of law and justice. Later on, it says, "B'yom ha'aseis Hashem Elokim," on the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, and there it states Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei, the Shem Havaya together with Elokim. The sages say HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world with Din, but he saw it couldn't last. So Shita B'yominis Rachamim. So he added the quality of rachamim, of compassion. So we see deen alone is not good either. The same thing, for example, we have, it states, we mentioned this in the shir recently, Lochovi Yushalayim, Ela Shehemidu Kol Divrayim Al Midas Hadin. One of the reasons why Yushalayim was destroyed is because everyone went with the letter of the law, and nobody was willing to go beyond the letter of the law. Nobody was willing to give a little more if he wasn't obligated to give it. And eventually that brought the destruction. So both of these are lacking. And we see that this had an actual manifestation in their children. The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalet. No, excuse me. On Kuf Mem Vav, the Gemara brings Rababa Bar Kahano said, "At Shleish Deiris LePoska Zuam Mame Avaseinu." That after the hate, after the sin of the first man and woman in the world, a zuhama, a great impurity came into the world and went into the nature of every individual. This impurity was rectified by the Gimel Avos, Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. But not by Avraham himself and not by Yitzchok himself. Because we see that in all of Avraham's greats, and he gave birth to a Yitzchok, he also gave birth to Yishmael, father of the Arab nations. And in all of Yitzchok's greatness, who gave birth to a Yaakov, he also gave birth to Esav, father of the Roman Empire, Edom. So we see that this impurity did not become rectified and did not leave them, even in the generation of Abraham and even in the generation of Yitzchok, but was manifested in their children. Now,
It's interesting, because we said Abraham, he was this great individual, enormous great individual, a giant, when it came to love and goodness. If love and goodness is without direction, what does it become? It becomes a lack of control. It becomes unbridled passions and desires. A lack of self-control. Because a person who has that love, he wants to go out. He's an extrovert, he wants to go out, and he wants to embrace everyone. Now by Abraham had come to a perfection in it. But the imperfection came into his son Yishmael. By Yishmael it states, Pera Odom v'yoda bakol. He will be a wild man, an uncontrolled man. V'yoda bakol, and his hands will be by everyone. In other words, an unbridled passion and desire. So this was the manifestation of that imperfection in Yishmael. Yitzchok, who was serving the Almighty through Shuras Hadin, he was serving him because of the great obligation, duty, fear, as a servant to a master. Yitzchok brought it to a perfection. But we said it's lacking. That itself is lacking. What does yireh, fear, do to a person? It causes him to withdraw. That's the introvert. It causes him to withdraw. So instead of being mispashit, it's a tzimtzum. If fear is uncontrolled, Yitzchok had it in a proper and par excellence. But if it's uncontrolled and if it's not brought to that perfection, a person who's overwhelmed with fear and pachat, he becomes an introvert. He becomes withdrawn. He becomes suspicious of people. He becomes cynical of people. And eventually it leads to the breakdown of relations of society. It will lead to sin or hatred, to anger, to revenge, until shvichas domin, murder. This was Esav. This imperfection found itself in Esav. What was Esav's midah? Al charbe chotichya. You will be the great shefech dam. You will be the murderer of the world. You will live by the sword. So the empires of Edom, Rome, and all of the empires that came from them. So we see that these qualities, even though Avraham brought it to enormous heights and Yitzchak brought it to enormous heights, but they each were lacking in a bit, and the manifestation was brought out in their children, in Yishmael and in Esav. If that's the case though, so what is the right way? If we said each one of these great approaches and methods were lacking, what is the right way? The right way is both of them. Both of them together. A combination of Ava V'Yira, of Chesed and Din. A combination of to be Makarev and to be Marachik. Like Shlomo HaMelech writes in Keheles, Eis Lekarev ve'Eis Lerachik. There's a time to bring close. There's a time to push away. Eis la'ava, there's a time to love. There's a time to go to war. Now, these two approaches, though, are contradictory to each other. We said one is zrizus, one motivates a person to go out, and the other is zehirus, motivates a person to pull himself back. Withdraw. One is kumbase, go, do. The other is shevaltase, don't do. They are self-contradictory. How's it possible for a person to be two personalities that are self-contradictory? just the opposite of each other, he would be a split personality. The answer is, this was the midah of Yaakov. By Yaakov Avinu, the Torah describes him with two descriptions. Ish tam, yosheva olim. That's in our parsha. Ish tam, tam, the Targum says, shalem. In the words of the sages many times, he is referred to as Yaakov Shalimto. Yaakov Shalem means totality. Who was total and he lacked nothing. What does it mean he was total and he lacked nothing? He took the pillar, he took the approach of Abraham, and he took the approach of Yitzchok. And from the two, he made one from them. He molded them together until they became one, and it was all encompassing, lacking nothing. Yaakov Shlipto. Even though they're self-contradictory, this was the genius of Yaakov, that he was able to take two self-contradictory approaches and make one. And that's how he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was Elokei Yaakov. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. And this is Midas HaTorah. This is the quality of Torah. And that's the other description of Yaakov. Ish tam, Yosheva Olim, who dwelled in the tents. Sages ask, what's tents? What kind of description is that of a person? Everybody dwells in a tent. Ohel Shel Torah, who dwelled in the tents of Torah. And Yaakov was the one who spent years and years learning Torah. States that before he went to the house of Lavan, he sat for 14 years in the tents of Shem and Aver, studying Torah day and night. See, day and night. The fact is, it states that when he came to Beis El and he slept, it says there he slept. There he lay down. But for 14 years he hadn't laid down. He used to sleep ala sefer, on the sefer. There he lay down. Now, by Yaakov, that was Midas HaTorah. It's also Yaakov is referred to in many places as Emes Titein, Emes Yaakov, because this was Torah. Emes is Torah. We see the Torah has both. For example, many times there's a discussion. There's always these discussions. What's better? A person should be a liberal or should he be a conservative? Should he be a hardliner? Should he be a softliner? You have different types of people. See? You have those people that say, go out there and take the swords and go to war. We'll show them. And you have others that say, you must be compassionate. You have to show Rachmonis. Rachmim, compassion. What is the right way of the person? In politics, you always have this going on every generation. Who do you identify yourself with? Radicals or liberals or conservatives or hardliners or rightists or leftists or so forth and so on? The answer is all of those movements are not good. All of them. Because if you look in the Torah, you'll find that it's both radical and liberal. It's both right-wing and left-wing. It's both, it can be hard as fire, and it can be soft as anything. Not only that, but you'll find that the great movements of the world, some of them great, some of them were infamous, they were either famous or infamous, movements of the world, many times you find those on the opposite side of the social or political arena both drew their sources from the Torah. To give liberty to everyone, the Liberty Bell in America, they have a posuk from the Torah, a sentence from the Torah. The great liberals drew their sources from the Torah. Who taught the world about Stoker? Who taught the world about Chesed? The Goyim. Who taught the world about compassion? Who taught the world about freedom? The liberals drew their sources, and the hardliners drew their sources. Who taught the world about zealousness? Wasn't it Pinchas that went with the sword? Who taught the world about war? Moshe was the greatest warrior. Moshe taught, writes how he himself destroyed Og Melech HaBoshen, Sichon Melech Emori. Moshe himself went in front. You want hardliners? Halavai, we should have a few of those hardliners today. Today, there's rampant crime. A person is not safe on the street, he's not safe in his car, he's not safe in his house, he's not safe in his office. What do we do? Nothing about it. We'll make a few token things. You know what happened? A woman is not safe anywhere. You know what happened when one of the daughters of Yaakov was abducted? Shimon and Levi went and they killed the whole town. The whole town they killed, man, woman, and child. And they took all of the spoils, brought it all back. You can imagine Yaakov wondering what's happening. Here he sees thousands and tens of thousands of animals coming, and this coming and that coming. What happened? He says, well, we eliminated a city. What did you do that for? They said, what do you mean, what did we do that for? They abducted our sister and we'll let them get away with it. And Yaakov wasn't happy with it. Why? He says, because now the whole area will be up in arms against me. And he cursed their wrath. He didn't curse them. He cursed their wrath. You were too spontaneous. You should have gone a little easier. If you want to see war in the Torah, learn Sefer Yeshua. You'll see war. How many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Yeshua to kill every man, woman, and child in a city. This is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not from me. But at the same time, you want to see compassion in the Torah. Who taught compassion to the world? Who taught the world how to give tzedakah? And so on and so on. The Torah is the perfection of the both. It's like Shlomo Melech wrote, Eis lechabek, eis lerachek. There's a time to embrace, there's a time to reject. There's a time for peace, there's a time for war. How do we know when? This is the perfection of Torah. And that's why in the Torah we find not positive commandments alone. We find negative commandments. We don't only find times which tells us not to do. We find times when it tells us to do. We find times when we have to go out with great zeal, and other times when we say, Shev al taseh, don't do. We find avoid me'avo, that you should serve with love. We find you should serve with fear. The fact is, in the tefillahs, it is written, for example, in the Shemayin Esrei, it states, Hashiveinu avinu l'seirasecho v'korveinu malkeinu l'avadesecho. Hashiveinu avinu, we say, our father, return us to Torah, v'korveinu malkeinu, and our king, return us to serve you. Now, we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a father, and we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a king. Or in the great tefillah that we say on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, on the fast days, Avinu Malkeinu. We say, Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king. Now this is contradictory. You don't approach a father like you approach a king, and you don't approach a king like you approach a father. Because the approach to a father is that of a son. The approach to a king is that of a servant. A son takes great privileges to a father that he wouldn't dare do to a king. Well, it was a real king that could cost him his head. Right? And the same thing vice versa. So why do we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avinu and Malkeinu? And Avinu, what is the relationship of a father to a son? That's Avo. Love. What's the relationship of a king to a servant? That's Pachad. That's fear. That's Din. That's the sword. So the answer is that we have two approaches to Yolabadi, but they're wrapped in one. Even though they're self-contradictory, they're made into one. And this is the uniqueness of Torah, the greatness of Torah, and this was the greatness of Yaakov, that was able to take this and make it into one. This is why it states that the Torah, it says, was given in the schus of Yaakov. It says, Torah tzivalonam Aisha, Moshe commanded us a Torah, Moreshe kilish Yaakov. It shall be an inheritance for the congregation of Yaakov. Why for Yaakov? What's the matter with Avraham and Yitzchok? It was through the schus of Yaakov, because he was the one who perfected this Amud. And this was the third pillar in the Mishnah of Ovos, which states, one was Ava, Chesed, the other was Avoda, and the other was Torah. Now it's not that Yaakov innately was greater than Avraham and Yitzchok. Now, I don't know if we can say anyone was greater than Avraham or Yitzchok. Not innately. If Yaakov was born before Avraham and Yitzchok, he might not have achieved what Avraham achieved. But given the foundation that Avraham laid, and given the foundation that Yitzchok laid, so Yaakov went further. And he brought Klal Yisrael, he got, brought himself to that level, and then Klal Yisrael. This is what, in the Mishnah Masechet Ovos, it states, it says, Memches Dvorim, a person has to have 48 qualities if he wants to become great in Torah. Well, list 48 qualities. Three of those qualities is Oev Esat Stokis, Oev Esat Echochis, Oev Esat Mishor. He has to have a love for Stoko, a love for Techochis, that's rebuke, and a love for Meshorim, what is upright. So the Maral explains. He says, many people, they'll say, I like the idea of giving stokah. It's nice, it's good. See, I like the idea of chesed. This is good. But I cannot stomach this, that it says that if someone criminally put him to death, how can you do such a thing? Or it's a mitzvah to go to war. You have other people the other way. I like that if a person does something wrong, he gets his punishment and finished. This, that you forgive, you want to forgive someone. Okay? Or I like that if the money is yours, it's yours. If it's mine, it's mine. But here you're telling me it's my money, but I should still give it to him. No, I can't. I don't like that. Okay? So Ralph says, if you're that type of person, you won't be Kena Terah. You won't become great in Torah, because you cannot identify with Torah. You are contrary to Torah. Because in Torah we find stokis. We find many, many mitzvahs, which means of giving away what's yours to others. So you have to be able to identify with that. We find techoches. We find rebuke and punishment. Reward for those who do right, and punishment for those who are evil. Ubi'alto aromi kirvecho, the Torah says, eliminate the evil ones from within you. And we find Meshorim. Meshorim is something that's perfectly straight, just. And you have to have a love for each one in its proper place if you want to identify with Torah and therefore become great in Torah. Therefore, one of the three of the 48 qualities are Ohev as a Stokes. You have to love Stokes, everything that it represents. Tochoches, everything, the hard line, what it represents. and Meshorim, and that what is in the middle, what it represents. And this is what it states, Avas Hatov V'Sinas Hara. Person has to develop in himself and in a great love for goodness. That was Avraham, but still a great hatred for evil. He cannot distort and say what is right is wrong and what is wrong and right. Now, Yaakov, we find, was not lacking. The Gemara that we quoted before concludes. It says as follows. That those impurities that came to the world after the original sins of the world, sin of the world, so did not cease until three generations. By Abraham it was still there because he gave birth to Ishmael. Yitzchok, it was still there because he gave birth to Esau. Yaakov, holy Yud Beishvotim, Shlohoya Behem Shum Dofi. Yaakov, we find all of his children, states were all righteous, and the 12 children, Yud Beishvotim, even though we find at times they did things wrong, but it wasn't a wrong in essence. And all of them, it says Kulam Tzadikim, they were all righteous, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his name in each one, and they formed the foundation of Klal Yisrael. This is Yaakov Ishtam. Yaakov was the man of perfection in totality, encompassing all that he inherited from the other and making one out of it. Yeshiva Olhim, who dwelled in the tents of Torah. This is why in the Torah we find contradictory concepts. From one aspect you could find Mechila, Shuvan Kapora, how a person can be forgiven. From the other aspect you find the sword, and so on. Mitzvahs essays, the mitzvahs leisasses, positive commandments and negative commandments. Therefore, each individual, when he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our powers, see? With all of our keach, with all of these attributes the Torah encompasses. And this is the guideline of the perfect way of Teres Hashem Tamimah. But just like Yaakov Ishtam, it states Torah Hashem Tamimah. So this is an explanation in the approaches of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.